This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPMRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today, from Houston, Texas, Joan Murray. Now, here's Joan.
Thank you for joining us for our series, Proved by God. We are studying 2 Timothy, and tonight we're concluding the series talking about fighting for the faith. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me lay a foundation in the Word. Last week we looked at 19 acts of ungodliness. We examined our hearts and saw areas that needed improvements. We assessed whether we looked more like Jesus or were we more conformed to the patterns of the world. As we conclude our study of Timothy, it is my prayer that we will not quickly forget the lessons learned. Paul concludes 2 Timothy by reminding us in whose presence we stand, God and Jesus Christ. Why is he making such a strong statement? He wants us to know who will ultimately judge us. God and Jesus will judge the living and the dead. So in 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells us how to run our race with excellence and endurance. I'm going to begin in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul says to Timothy, in view of Christ appearing, I give you this charge. His charge to Timothy was in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ. Paul was about to be martyred, and Timothy had been given huge responsibilities. Paul spoke as a person who knew that he was answerable for every word he uttered. He was operating under the authority of heaven as he gave Timothy these words of warning and challenge. Timothy had to recognize the seriousness of the situation and that he was also answerable to Jesus Christ. Timothy would have to give an account for how he handled the charges. He had to live, and so do we, with the coming of the kingdom of heaven in mind. There are 5 charges given to Timothy. The reason for these charges was because a time was coming when men and women would refuse sound doctrine. So number one, he was to preach the word. He was not to preach any other doctrine. Sound doctrine would be rejected because it demanded much of believers. People would have itching ears, wanting only to be entertained. These people, to satisfy their own desires, would gather teachers around them to say what their itching ears wanted to hear. These men and women would turn their ears away from the truth of the word. They would embrace myths and traditions and falsehood and fantasies, but not the soundness of the word of God. Timothy was to stand his ground and be willing to suffer for the truth of the gospel message. So Paul challenged him to preach the word. Number two, he was to be prepared in season and out of season. He was to know the word. He was to study the word. The word prepares means to educate himself in the word, to train in it, to be equipped in it, to lay the groundwork, to research it, to do his homework, and always be ready. Paul was challenging him to know the word so well that when he stood up in front of any audience, he could articulate the truth of the word of God. When we also do this, we'll be able to share its truth with others that the Lord will bring into our lives. He was to correct. He was to use the word to teach, to reprove and correct people. The word is a remedy for all situations in our lives. And the word is used to set things right. It was used in Timothy's time to set situations right in the church, and it is used in our time to do the same thing. Timothy was to use the truth, the word, to help people to know the heart of God so they would not fall into falsehood. He was to rebuke. As a teacher of the word, he was to rebuke those who would neglect to teach its truths. Timothy was to admonish, reprimand, and challenge anyone who would teach a doctrine other than the truth of God's word. And Paul was challenging him to do this. He was to encourage. Our greatest source of encouragement comes from the word of God. Think about a time in your life when you're going through a difficulty and God will speak a scripture into your heart, or you'll read something in the word and it brings comfort to your souls. Timothy was to use the word to encourage others. He was to use it to encourage us to live as Jesus did, holy, righteous, and caring for those who were downtrodden in life. Timothy was to strengthen, inspire, reassure, rally, and embolden the people with the word of God so that they could go forth and embolden and rally others. As the lovers of Jesus, we are also charged to urge others on in their faith. Help them light a fire in their journey. We are to incite, inflame, provoke, goad, motivate, and push people toward Jesus Christ. Why and how? We're to encourage them in the things they're doing to promote Jesus. Every time we see somebody sharing the love of Jesus, every time we see somebody giving a cup of water in the name of Jesus, every time we see somebody serving somebody by the side of the road, we are to push them on, help them to do even more for him. We are to help people in their pursuit of Jesus. We must promote Christ to everyone above anything else. Our charge is to advance the kingdom message on earth so that people will come to know the risen Savior and the Father God. As we do this, we will experience the fullness of God's approval. This is what Paul was encouraging Timothy to do. Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. He was not to lose his zeal for lost souls. He was to earnestly proclaim the gospel message. And he was to urge people to trust in Jesus alone for salvation. He was to preach the word and allow the word to capture the hearts of people and to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He was to keep his head in all situations. That means he needed to be steady and to be sure in his journey, in his destiny, in the assignment that was given him in the earth. So to endure hardships, Paul came back to the statement many times in this training of Timothy. He was to make full proof of his ministry, to be valiant over the ministry God gave him, to watch over everything that pertained to the ministry. He was to be patient as he endured afflictions. He was to work hard at what was being entrusted to him. As you study 2 Timothy, it was such a heavy chapter because it required so much of Timothy and even of us today. And so Paul, in the last stages of his life, is trying to instill as much as he could in Timothy so that he could be sustained as he continued the fulfillment of the gospel message to those he was called to serve. To work hard at what was being entrusted to him was what God asked Timothy to do. The word make means to create, build, construct, and assemble. He was to make ministry happen by sharing the gospel message at all times in any place where God led him. He could not neglect his assignment, which was ministry. That is your challenge and my challenge today. That we do not neglect the ministry. Don't neglect the assignment. Don't neglect what God has called and appointed us to do in the earth for him. I'm going to take you to verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. Paul says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul tells us that there's a cost to fight the good fight of faith. It costs to serve Jesus with all of our hearts. Paul was poured out like a drink offering. His life had been emptied for the sake of Christ. It was a life of total surrender and sacrifice. Paul had allowed the Holy Spirit's power to fill and flow through his life to impact many people. He was like rivers of water going in whatever direction God led him, always ready, always willing, always available and willing to lay down his life to spread the gospel. He said he was poured out. There was nothing left of him. He was poured out like a libation, a drink offering on the altar of sacrifice. He was a gift that had been given to draw mankind to the one and only Savior, and he had been victorious in doing this. In the final analysis, Paul ceased to exist. Jesus overtook his life and used him for his glory. Paul said, "The time has come for my departure." He knew his death was imminent, yet there was no fear, only peace. As he faced death, he reviewed his life. And he could confidently say he had fought a good fight. He had faced danger, hunger, robberies, and imprisonment. Yet he did not stop serving Jesus. It had been a struggle. It was combat. It was fierce and agonizing. But it was a good fight because it was for God. And it was all about the salvation of mankind through his son. So Paul said, "I have gone through all of these difficulties. And even though it was hard, it was a good fight." He had ran his race with endurance, facing and overcoming every obstacle in his path. Paul saw himself as an athlete who entered a race and kept going no matter the setbacks he faced. He said, "I have finished my course." He had not been slothful or hesitant to embrace his destiny. So we have to ask the question, what is stopping us from embracing our destiny? Paul went to the starting line. He began the race. And he did not stop until he reached the finish line. In between the starting line and the finish line, he had been beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, but finish he did. Adversity did not keep him from finishing. It propelled him further. Negative circumstances, negative words couldn't stop him. He understood that the race was fixed and that he had already won. He simply had to get to the finish line so he could receive his crown. He said, "I have kept the faith." He had carefully guarded the deposit that Jesus placed in his heart. He had stayed the course until its conclusion. He had been a good steward, discharging the duties as they were given to him by God. And he never doubted that God was with him. He had grabbed a hold of Jesus. And he held on tightly to the very end. And Paul himself was satisfied with the outcome of his life. He had given it all. He had laid it all on the altar. And there was nothing once Jesus saved him that he did not do for the advancement of the gospel. I asked myself this question. And I'm going to ask you the same question. Will you be able to say you're satisfied with the outcome of your race at the end of your life.
Paul said, for his good fight of faith, there was a crown of righteousness. The Lord, his judge, would award him this crown for a job well done. This crown will also be given to those who lived by faith, finishing their course in the earth. That's us. This righteous crown is a band that encircles the head, designated honor to kings and queens. There are two types of crowns, the stephanus that were worn by athletes and the diadema was worn by kings and queens. I believe Paul is talking about the diadema crown. This will not just be any crown, but a righteous crown. This crown speaks of godliness, having right standing with God. It speaks of virtue. Paul knew he would stand before God and he would be judged. And when God was finished, God would give him a crown for the work that he had accomplished for God in the earth. You and I will also stand before God. And we will be judged for what we did once we came into relationship with him. Not the sins we have committed, not the wrongs we have done. Those are covered under the blood and he doesn't remember them anymore. But God will ask us about what did you do with the life I gave you? When you came into a relationship with me, what did you do with the promise and the destiny and the purpose that I gave you? God will judge us and we will be awarded crowns based on what we did for him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Believers will stand before the judgment seat of God to examine what we did with our lives. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 tells us that the great white throne judgment will be the time that believers and unbelievers alike are judged. Those whose names are found in the book of life will be judged for their deeds in order to determine the rewards they'll receive or lose. Those whose names are not in the book of life will be judged according to their deeds to determine where they will spend eternity. When you stand before God, what will he say to you? What will be your judgment? Where will you be spending eternity? As Paul reviewed his life, Paul recognized that he had been faithful and consistent in his service to the Lord. Will that be said of you? Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy verse 9. It says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Grecians have gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear of it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to be here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So in view of all Paul sacrificed,
He once again told us that he was deserted by those who loved the world more than Christ. There were people like Alexander, the metal worker, and others who did great harm to him along his difficult journey. We will all suffer in some way for the sake of Christ. And Paul shared some of his suffering with us. Everyone deserted him. They did not come to his defense, but the Lord was with Paul to strengthen him. Paul faced opposition as he preached the gospel message. Paul tells us that the Lord rescued him from every evil attack. People attacked him. 2 Corinthians 10:10, Paul tells us that what some people said about him, for some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speeches are worthless. Question, do you think any of those people accomplished what the Apostle Paul did? Do you think their names are written in the Bible? Yet they criticized him. Paul released them. Not everyone is qualified to walk with you in your destiny. And Paul recognized this and released those who brought more harm to him in his destiny than those who were helping him. Paul experienced times of loneliness in his difficult journey, but he leaned into Jesus. The journey was lonely because so many people could not be trusted. The same can be said today. Paul experienced this over 2,000 years ago, and we are experiencing the same thing, that many people today cannot be trusted in the journey. I hear this same thing said by many pastors all around the world, and they are so wounded at times when people let them down, when they split the churches, when they walk away from them. But we all have to lean into Jesus when we face these difficulties, and this is what Paul did. The people attacked and criticized him. The more they did, the more Paul leaned into Jesus. Those of you who are called to ministry will experience this also. So remember that when you come under attack, lean into Jesus during these difficulties so you will not be stopped or hindered from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Paul kept his heart focused on what was important, Jesus and the gospel message. Therefore, he was victorious. And I want you to just for a moment consider his welcome to heaven. I want to close out this study of 2 Timothy looking at Timothy. It was a lot of instructions that Paul was giving Timothy. The book actually could have been written by Paul. So I want to cover the life of Timothy for a few moments as I close. I want to look at how he ran his race after Paul challenged him to live a life that was worthy of God. Historians record that he remained the bishop of a church in Ephesus until his death. This is Timothy. Timothy's name appears in several of Paul's letters. 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Philippians 2 verse 19 to 23, Paul wrote to the Philippians about Timothy and said, I have no one like him. Wow. What a strong endorsement of Timothy. Think about it for a second. Could anyone say this of you? When Paul was in prison and awaiting martyrdom, he summoned his faithful friend Timothy. Some historians record that at 80 years old, Timothy tried to halt a procession in honor of some pagan goddess by preaching the gospel message. It is said that an angry mob beat him with clubs, dragged him through the streets, and that he died a few days later. If Timothy died at 80, then for almost 60 years plus, he faithfully served the gospel message around the cities and areas where God called him.
He faithfully served God. Remember, he started his missionary travels with Paul when he was in his 20s. So for all of those years of his life, Timothy was faithful in his service to God. Timothy, like Paul, finished his course well by doing all he could for Jesus and the gospel. He learned the lessons Paul taught him. Will you finish your course no matter the hardships or the sufferings you face? I challenge you and encourage you as I challenge and encourage myself. Promote Jesus and advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I conclude, how do we become approved by God? By keeping the faith, staying the course, running your race with endurance, sharing the gospel message. When people do and speak evil things to you, don't retaliate. Lean away from them and lean more heavily into Jesus. He will fight for you. I pray that when we stand before Jesus, we will only hear these words that are recorded in Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. 2 Timothy was a challenging study for all of us. I pray that as we journeyed through each of these chapters, that you heard God and you felt his love, his challenge, and his hope for the great future he has placed before you. Let me pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, what a challenge you placed before Timothy. What a charge you gave him to fulfill his purpose on earth as you desired for him to do. Lord, I thank you that like Paul, he finished his course. Now, as it relates to us, Father, I pray for every person who's listening today who is trying to figure out what their destinies are. I pray for that one, Lord, that as they seek after you, that they will find you and that you'll give them wisdom and instructions concerning their destiny. I pray your peace in the middle of all of their struggles. Will you remind them that the hardships that they're facing is for further purpose in the kingdom of God? And then just like Paul and just like Timothy, as they overcome, as they go through the hardship, as they grow in you, as you use them more and more and they face additional hardship, like Paul said, that even when everybody abandoned him, Jesus, you were with him throughout the journey of his life. I pray that over every listener today, that they will know that you're with them, that they will know that you hear them, that they will know that you are mindful of them, that they will know that you will watch over your word to perform it in their lives. Would you bless those that are struggling? Would you bless those that are really going through a difficult crisis or difficult season? And will you let them know that just like Paul, that you're walking with them? And just like Job, you're in the storms with them, and you will rescue them and set them free. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for our broadcast today. If the Lord has called you to teach the word and there is a word that you desire to get out around the world, I invite you to call Rick Gentry of BPN Radio, because like me, you will find a place where you can share the gospel message with those who need to hear what God has given to you. So I invite you to call Rick Gentry and he will get you set up.
You have been listening to Joan Murray on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. www.thegoodfightoffaith.com. Thanks for listening.